It's pretty amazing to see how much Salesforce has grown.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, it's just everywhere you look.
Right.
And those projections, I saw that by next year, their annual revenue is going to hit something like $38 billion.
Oh, wow.
It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah,
Like,
excellent.
how many businesses are really relying on
It
Salesforce?
really speaks to the pervasiveness of Salesforce in, in the business world today.
And I think it's easy to get caught up in the, you know, the excitement of like the actual implementation of Salesforce, you know, all the bells and whistles and getting it live and all that
Oh,
stuff.
yeah, absolutely.
But what we don't often talk about is kind of what happens before all of that, you know?
Right. Right.
And I'm talking about like the pre-sales phase and the project scoping phase, you
Yes,
know?
crucial groundwork.
Yeah, the groundwork is the
That's so important for success.
it's like the foundation of a house, you know? Like, you can't build a house without a good foundation, and you can't have a successful Salesforce implementation without a really good pre-sales and scoping phase.
And that's often where projects go off the rails, I think, if they haven't gotten that right.
So we're going to really dig into what all of that entails today. We're going to do a real deep dive into, you know, what this pre-sales scoping thing is all about, why it's so important, and how to avoid those common pitfalls, you know, like the never-ending scope creep, the expectations that get misaligned, and, you know, budgets that explode.
All the things that keep project managers up at night.
Exactly. So where should we start with this?
Well, I think a good place to begin is with the definition of Salesforce pre-sales.
Okay.
So at its core, it's really about, strategic and technical conversations, evaluations, and planning. That happens before the project kicks off, before any actual development work is done. So it's really about getting a deep understanding of the customer's needs, their business challenges, their current systems, their budget, and really making sure that what they're envisioning is technically feasible.
So it's really like a deep dive into their world before you even start.
It is. It's, a lot more than just a handshake and saying, okay, yeah, we can build that for you. It's about really, understanding the intricacies of their business.
Yeah, and I like that analogy of the blueprint, you know?
Like,
Like, if you're
okay.
gonna build a house, you wouldn't just show up with, you know, a bunch of lumber and hammers and start
No, you
building.
need that plan.
You need a plan.
You need to know where the walls are going, where the plumbing's going. Yeah,
Exactly.
all that.
And it's the same with Salesforce, you know? You need that blueprint, that pre-sales phase.
Yeah, you might end up with something that looks pretty on the surface, a nice facade.
You got the shiny new dashboard and everything.
Exactly. But if you haven't laid that foundation properly, things are going to start to crumble pretty quickly.
You're gonna get the scope creep.
You're going to get the scope
The
creep.
change request, the budget overruns.
Yeah, and even worse, you might end up with a solution that doesn't actually solve their business problems. It might look good, but it's not actually doing what it's supposed to do.
So, okay, so pre-sales is the first piece. Then we get into project scoping. And this is where we get down to the nitty-gritty, the specifics. So, what are we actually talking about here?
So project scoping is really defining the boundaries of the project. Specifically what's included and what's not included.
So, give me some examples.
Okay, so which Salesforce clouds are we implementing? Are we talking Sales Cloud, Service Cloud, Marketing Cloud? How many users are going to be using the system? What integrations do we need to build with other systems? And how much customization is required? Do we need to build custom objects, custom fields, custom workflows? All of those details need to be clearly defined.
And why is that so important? I mean, why is it such a big deal if the scoping isn't clear?
Well, if it's not clear, you're just asking for trouble. I've seen projects where client expectations just balloon out of control because they assumed certain features were included when they weren't. And on the other hand, sometimes critical pieces of functionality get left out because they weren't explicitly defined in the scope.
So it's about managing expectations.
It is. It's about making sure that everyone is on the same page from the client to the implementation team. And it's about avoiding those nasty surprises down the line.
And you know, it's surprising me how many companies really kind of go about the scoping process without a whole lot of structure. You know,
Yeah, it's amazing.
I've seen some teams that are using spreadsheets. I've seen some that are using, you know, like really generic project templates.
Yeah, just trying to make it work.
Exactly. And what's the problem with that?
Well, the problem is you end up with inconsistent estimates.
Okay.
You know, you might have two different sales reps looking at the same project
Yeah.
and coming up with completely different estimates
Right.
because they're using different methods.
Yeah, and I've heard stories of, estimates varying by like 30 or 40%
Oh, easily.
just because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And crucial assumptions might get made
Oh, yeah.
in those conversations, but if they're not written down,
Right.
then they just disappear.
It's like they never happened.
And if you're starting from scratch every time you scope a project,
Yeah.
it's not just inefficient.
It's incredibly risky.
Yeah.
You're basically reinventing the wheel every time.
Right.
And you're much more likely to underestimate the work involved,
Okay.
which leads to missed deadlines, unhappy clients.
Right. You're setting yourself up for failure.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we've talked about why this initial phase is so important. We've talked about the potential pitfalls of getting it wrong.
Right.
So let's really dig into like the key components
Okay.
of effective pre-sales scoping.
Sure.
And it all seems to start with, really understanding the client's world,
Absolutely.
right?
You have to start with discovery and stakeholder alignment.
Okay, so what does that mean?
So it means, not just having a quick introductory call with the client,
Yeah.
but really conducting in-depth discovery sessions.
Okay.
Really digging into their business goals,
Okay.
their pain points,
Yeah.
their existing systems, their future vision.
So you're really trying to understand the why behind what they're asking for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You need to understand the why behind those features and functionalities
Yeah.
that they're requesting.
And I guess it's also important to talk to the right people.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not enough to just talk to the executives,
That's right.
right? You need to involve the people who are actually going to be using the system.
You need to talk to the end users.
The end user.
The people who are actually going to be interacting with Salesforce on a daily basis,
Right.
because they're the ones who are going to be able to tell you what they need, what
Right.
their pain points are.
Yeah. And their needs might be different from what the executives think their needs are.
Oh, absolutely.
The executives might be focused on, high level metrics like revenue growth,
Right.
but the sales reps might be, struggling with their lead management process.
Exactly. Or the service agents might be, drowning in cases.
Yeah.
So you really need to get a holistic view.
A 360 degree view
It
of their
starts,
needs.
yeah.
Okay, so we've got, really understanding the client, talking to the right people. So what are some of the, practical tools or approaches
Yeah.
that can really help streamline this whole scoping process?
So one thing that I've seen be really effective is the use of scope libraries and templates.
Okay, what are those?
So these are basically pre-built modules or blueprints for common Salesforce project types. So for example, if a client needs Sales Cloud implemented,
Yeah.
you might have a predefined scope template for lead management opportunity, tracking, forecasting, reporting. Or if they need Service Cloud implemented,
Okay.
you might have a template for case management knowledge base setup integration with their phone system.
So instead of starting from scratch every time,
Right.
you can pull from this library of pre-validated components.
Exactly. And then you customize it
Okay.
to the client's specific requirements.
Yeah, that seems like a huge time saver.
It is. It's a huge time saver.
Yeah.
And it also ensures a certain level of quality and completeness.
Right. Make sure you're not forgetting anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess it also makes the process more repeatable and scalable.
Oh, absolutely.
As your organization grows,
Right.
you don't want to have to rely on every sales rep's, individual
Yeah,
expertise.
you want to have a consistent
A
approach.
consistent approach.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got understanding the client, we've got leveraging these pre-built resources. Now let's talk about something that is always a challenge in any project, and that's accurately estimating how long it's going to take.
Right. The dreaded timeline estimation.
Yeah, and how do you do that accurately?
Well, relying on gut feeling alone is not going to cut it.
No.
You need a more data-driven approach.
Okay.
And that's where timeline builders come in.
What are those?
So timeline builders are tools that can take the defined scope items
Yeah.
and translate them into a realistic project schedule.
Okay.
They often incorporate historical data from previous similar projects.
Oh, that's smart.
So you can see, how long it actually took to do certain tasks in the past.
Yeah, and base your estimate on that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you also mentioned something called effort calculators.
Right.
How do those work?
So effort calculators work in conjunction with timeline builders.
Yep.
So once you have an estimate for the effort required for a core role, like say a Salesforce developer or a solution architect, these calculators can extrapolate the necessary effort for other supporting roles.
So like the business analysts, the QA testers, the project managers.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you get a much more comprehensive view of the total effort required.
Got it.
Across the entire project team.
And that helps you avoid understaffing or over allocating resources.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about, you know, the timeline, the effort, all these different tasks.
Mm-hmm.
But a Salesforce project isn't just about tasks, it's about people.
It is. It's about people.
So how does scoping account for the human element?
Well, that's where defining roles, rates, and resource modeling comes in.
Okay, so break that down for me.
So effective scoping tools should allow you to specify the different roles that will be needed throughout the project lifecycle.
Okay.
So, you know, you might need a business analyst for requirements gathering, a technical architect for solution design, developers for customization, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And crucially, you can also associate predefined billing rates with each of these roles.
So you can immediately see how much the project is going to cost in terms of labor.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's essential for determining pricing.
Yeah.
Incorporating profit margins.
Right.
And making sure that the project is financially viable.
Got it.
And it's not just about the financials either.
Right.
By defining the necessary roles and the estimated time commitment for each, delivery managers can start planning their resource allocation in advance.
Okay.
So they can avoid resource bottlenecks.
So you're not scrambling at the last minute to find someone.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've got the timeline, we've got the effort, we've got the people.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about the money.
Okay.
How does pricing and margin visibility factor into this whole pre-sales stage?
So Salesforce projects can be structured in different ways.
Okay.
You know, you've got time and materials, you've got fixed fee.
But regardless of the pricing model, having clear visibility into the financial implications of the proposed scope during pre-sales is absolutely critical.
So you need to be able to see how adding certain features or integrations is going to impact the overall cost.
Exactly.
Right. And in your profit margin.
Yes. In your profit margin.
Yeah.
So a robust pre-sales process will often incorporate a built-in pricing engine.
Okay.
Which allows the team to apply discounts, factor in expenses,
mm-hmm.
and see in real time how those factors affect the final price and the profit margin.
Got it.
So this level of transparency streamlines internal approvals.
Yeah.
And make sure that the proposed deal aligns with the company's financial objectives.
Right. So everyone's happy.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've covered the what of effective pre-sales scoping.
Right.
You know, understanding the client, using templates, estimating effort, managing the financials. But now let's talk about the how.
Okay.
You know, specifically how to ask the right questions during those initial discovery sessions. Right. Because that's really where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
You know, a successful discovery session isn't just about ticking boxes on a requirements list.
Right.
It's about asking insightful questions.
Okay.
That uncover hidden assumptions, challenge preconceived notions.
Yeah.
And establish clear boundaries for the project.
So let's start with an area that I know can be really complex in Salesforce implementations.
Okay.
And that's data migration.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah. What are some of the key questions that absolutely need to be asked early on about that?
So you need to ask, you know, what are the current systems where the data resides?
Okay.
What's the volume of data?
Hmm.
How complex is the data structure?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any data quality issues that need to be addressed?
Like duplicates or inconsistencies?
Exactly.
Okay.
And what's the strategy for historical data?
Okay.
You know, will all of it need to be migrated or will some of it be archived?
Yeah, because those are all going to impact the complexity and the timeline of the migration.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah, it could be a simple data import or it could be a multi-stage migration involving custom development.
Yeah, got it.
Okay.
Another area that seems really important to ask about is integrations.
Yes, integrations are crucial.
Because Salesforce rarely operates in a vacuum.
Right. It needs to talk to other systems.
So what are some of the key questions there?
So you need to ask, you know, what external systems need to be integrated?
Okay.
Are the necessary APIs available and well documented?
Mm-hmm.
Will the integrations be real time or batch based?
Okay.
And are there any security or compliance requirements that need to be considered?
Yeah, because those are all going to impact the complexity and the cost of the integrations.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. And I guess sometimes you might even need to bring in some technical subject matter experts.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
To really understand the intricacies of the integration.
Right. If you've got some really complex integrations,
yeah,
you're going to need some experts to help you scope them properly.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so another area that we need to talk about is customization.
Yes, because Salesforce is so adaptable.
Right. You can customize it to do pretty much anything.
Almost anything.
But that also means that you need to really understand the client's unique business processes.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the key questions to ask about that?
So you need to ask about their core business processes.
Okay.
Are there any existing approval workflows or automations that need to be replicated?
Mm-hmm.
Will they need custom objects or components?
Okay.
Are there any industry-specific compliance workflows that need to be built in?
Yeah, because you don't want to get too far down the road and then realize that, you know, Salesforce can't handle a certain process.
Right. Or that it's going to require a lot of custom development.
Exactly.
Which is going to add time and cost to the project.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've talked about data migration, integrations, customization. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I think is really important to consider is involving subject matter experts.
Yes. SMEs are invaluable.
And why is that?
So Salesforce is a vast ecosystem.
Right.
You know, you've got Sales Cloud, Service Cloud, Marketing Cloud, Commerce Cloud,
mm-hmm.
And then you've got all these industry-specific solutions.
Yeah.
So if your core pre-sales team doesn't have deep expertise in a particular area,
yeah,
it's really important to bring in an SME.
Okay. So, like, for example, if the client needs CPQ implemented,
right,
you might bring in a CPQ specialist.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because they're going to be able to ask the right questions.
Right.
And identify potential complexities that a generalist might not even think about.
So it's about having the right people at the table.
It is.
To make sure that everything is scoped properly.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I guess that also builds credibility with the client.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, it shows that you're really taking their needs seriously.
Right. It shows that you understand their business.
Yeah.
And that you're bringing in the right people to help them succeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about a lot of, you know, kind of human-powered processes and approaches.
Right. But what about technology? You know,
okay.
Is there anything out there that can help automate or streamline this whole scoping process?
So one area that's really exciting is the use of artificial intelligence.
Oh, AI.
Yeah.
I know there's a company called Get Generative AI.
Right.
That's doing some interesting work in this space.
Yeah, they're developing some AI-powered tools.
Yeah.
That can really help optimize different stages of the project lifecycle.
Okay. And how does that work?
So they're basically creating these AI-driven agents that can automate a lot of the manual effort that goes into pre-sales.
Interesting. And what kind of agents are we talking about?
So they've got a pre-sales agent that can create accurate proposals with cost and resource estimates.
Oh, wow.
They've got a design agent that can auto-generate solution designs.
Okay.
They've got a build agent that can automate configuration and development.
Wow.
They've got a test agent that can handle validation.
That's amazing.
And they've even got a support agent that can proactively monitor systems. So they've got pretty much every stage of the project covered.
Yeah, it's pretty comprehensive.
And what's the benefit of using these AI agents?
Well, the main benefit is that they can significantly reduce the amount of time and effort that it takes to do pre-sales and scoping.
Yeah.
And they can also help minimize errors.
Right, because they're not prone to human error.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it seems like, you know, the future of pre-sales is really about combining the best of human expertise with the power of technology.
It's about using AI to do the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
So that humans can focus on the more strategic and creative aspects of the process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive into pre-sales and project scoping,
mm-hmm.
it's clear that a successful Salesforce implementation really starts with this initial phase.
Absolutely.
You know, it's about establishing a shared understanding of the client's goals.
Right.
And a clear plan for how to achieve them.
Yeah, and it's about having the right processes, tools, and people in place.
And if you get this right,
yeah,
then everything else becomes so much easier.
It does. It really sets the stage for success.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pre-sales isn't just a box to check off.
Right.
It's the foundation of the entire project.
It's the blueprint for success.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think this whole idea of, you know, having a really rigorous planning phase
mm-hmm.
applies to any complex project.
It does.
Not just Salesforce implementations.
Yeah, anytime you're embarking on something big and complex,
yeah,
you need to invest the time up front
right.
to plan it out properly.
Got it.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining me for this deep dive.
My pleasure.
I think we uncovered some really valuable insights.
I hope so.
And I hope our listeners, take these insights and apply them to their own projects.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Thanks again.
You're welcome.